Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Evangelicals have great confidence in the power of the gospel. What they mistake is that they think that they have to add to it.
Should he get out of the Christian church if he's gay?
That's totally up to him. I don't know. I mean, the main thing, Barbara, is we are four people.
Whatever you say after the words, I believe, is a creed. The only question is it a good creed?
Where we would even let local congregations die and not have pastors to serve them so that we can preserve institutional what have you that isn't word and sacrament. Well, then we've given up what Christ has said, do this, fighting to save what? An organization that doesn't necessarily do anything anymore because it stopped doing the one thing it originally was created to do.
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. You listen, then you vote. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. It's hard to believe that this is actually true, but apparently it is. It may be a stunt, but it's true. A Minnesota couple is using an online vote to decide whether or not to abort their baby. Joining us to talk about this stunning story and what it says about our country and its value of life, Scott Klusendorf, president of Life Training Institute and author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
Laying aside the motivations of this couple for a second, what does this say that a couple could do this, basically put it to a vote on the internet as to whether or not they should abort their unborn child, and they aren't immediately shamed and scorned off the bandwidth for doing so?
I think it points to the fact that the public, by and large, does not understand the nature of the abortion debate, and the couple themselves very skillfully framed the question. They framed it as this: should we or should we not have a baby? Now, notice that assumes that the child is not already there, and it assumes that it will come to be at a certain point. So the whole framework for the discussion is not should we kill an innocent human being because he's an inconvenience to us. Rather, the discussion is should we have a baby? And most of the people in the public, they hear that and they think, well, you know, of course, you know, do what works best for you. So the whole foundation for the debate for this ridiculous stunt, and I do believe it is a stunt, is already skewed in favor of the pro-abortion side.
So the assumptions of the question do a lot here. Does this help explain why we don't understand the nature of the abortion issue?
Well, I think it explains why people aren't shaming them into oblivion. If someone said, should I or should I not beat my wife next Tuesday, well, the media would more than likely ignore such a thing. And if it were commented on, you're right, they would be driven from the planet. The same would be true if someone said, should I or should I not kill my two-year-old next Wednesday? But because the question was framed as, should we have this baby, all of a sudden the question of the status of the child is pushed to the back because we simply assume it's not already there.
Now, let's reframe the entire thing. Again, laying aside the wisdom of taking an online poll for such a decision, what are they actually deliberating about? Aside from the poll?
Well, I think they're deliberating on whether or not to have an abortion. Are we going to end the life of this human being inside the womb, or are we going to give it a chance at life? And we're going to make that determination based on popular vote. I think that it would really be something interesting if the question were framed from the outset that this is a human being, but we're going to determine whether or not we allow it to be born based on popular vote. Listen, if our rights as humans come down to what others think of us, and if our rights are determined by a popularity contest, well, then none of us have rights that we can rest secure in.
The public, do you think they are catching on to the fact that this is about abortion and not about the prospect of getting pregnant?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. The early voting on this, and believe me, I've spent very little time on it because I believe it's a stunt. But if we take it as real, the early voting indicated a split marginally in favor of aborting the child. But now that pro-lifers have got wind of this, it has swung the other way. So I don't know how much we can put in terms of believing that you have a realistic poll here. I think the numbers are going to be skewed in favor of the group that just pounds out the most phone calls.
Now let's talk about the stunt aspect of it. If it is a stunt, just someone seeking 15 minutes of fame or perhaps an interview with CNN or Fox News, what does that say?
It's hard to say. On one hand, if this is a pro-life stunt, which one pro-abortion columnist has suggested, I have to admit it does get people thinking about the issue and does instigate a little bit of a yuck factor for some. But as I said, for many, they're not going to have that because it's simply assumed, based on the way the question was framed, that the child's not already here. Yet I think for some, Todd, there would be those who go, yuck, we're going to make a decision here, especially one that's so draconian based on a popularity poll. If, in fact, though, this is just another stunt that nobody thinks twice of, boy, that does concern us.
Could such a stunt, or even if they're sincere in their deliberations here, just seeking advice from other people, could such a thing even be done if the American public rightly understood what abortion is and what the debate is all about?
No, this kind of thing should never be put to a vote because human life is intrinsically valuable and human life should not be taken without justification. And I can tell you right now, what certainly does not justify taking a human life, and that is losing a popularity contest. And that's exactly what is at stake here if we take seriously these people, which, again, I don't. But if we were to take them seriously, that is the foundation for whether one lives or dies winning a popularity contest.
It's reminiscent of a woman several years ago who decided to have an abortion, in this case, a chemically induced abortion, and do it, chronicle it on the internet. And if I remember correctly, she was rather adamant in the fact that this is her right. This is something she wanted people to know. I think she was kind of trying to say, hey, it's no big deal. Your thoughts on that, Scott?
At least that person appears a little more credible to me, though, again, it's appalling that this kind of thing would be put online, and it's almost beyond commenting on it. It's so crazy. But at least there's an honest assessment of the nature of the act that's being undertaken. She's simply saying, it's my body, it's my right, I'll do what I want. Now, that does not work in terms of justifying abortion for reasons we've talked about in the past on this show, but at least there's an honest framing of the argument, where in this case, what I'm seeing is an attempt to simply assume the unborn is not already with us and then put it up to a vote. I actually prefer the candor of the gal who put her decision on the internet and was more straightforward about it.
There's also another assumption here, aside the big one that you've pointed out, that there's no baby yet. We're talking about a prospective baby, not a real baby. But the other assumption is that the decision to abort or to not abort should be based upon things like, are we ready? Do we feel ready? Do I feel like I want to be a mom yet? Or are we financially or in some other way prepared to do this? Your thoughts on that?
Well, notice again that with each of those considerations, they only make sense if we assume the unborn child in question is not already one of us. No one would argue we should kill a two-year-old for those reasons. Nobody's going to say, you know, my two-year-old daughter is really a strain on my checkbook. I'd really like to balance my checkbook next month, so I'll just eliminate her. You're not going to hear that. But yet we do hear that in this case because, again, there is an assumption that's not been argued for. It's simply assumed that the unborn in question is not already one of us. But that's precisely the issue that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed with arguments, not assumptions.
So if you were able to talk with this Minnesota couple before the their deadline is December 7th, that's also a rather chilling part of this, is they have a legal deadline for legal abortion in the state where they reside. If you had an opportunity to speak to them, how would you talk to them about the child they already have?
Well, just to clarify something, there is no legal limit here. That is a misstatement on their part, and I know they say that on the site. But let's be clear about what Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton allow, which that's the law of the land. They can get an abortion at any point in the pregnancy for any reason or no reason up until birth. So this idea that they have a legal limit they got to wait until is simply false. There may be a medical limit pertaining to the type of abortion they will have, but not a legal limit on whether or not they can have one. If I were in a room with this couple, I would say this. Number one, do not kill this child. Number two, when you give birth, please immediately give it up for adoption to a loving family that will value the child for the kind of thing it is, not on the basis of its popularity numbers. And number three, I'd like to recommend to you a great psychologist that will help you learn that morality does not come down to a vote. I think that's what I'd say to them, Todd.
All right. When we come back, here's the question that kind of rises in my mind, and it's just a terribly sad one if you think about it. God willing, and we know that He is, this child will be born and the child will grow up and start surfing the internet and find the evidence that his or her parents put his existence up for a popular vote. We'll talk about that after this. Before they determine the sex, choosing our life over your life meant your death. And you never got a chance to even open your eyes. Sometimes I wonder as a fetus, if you fought for your life, would you have been a little genius in love with math? Would you have played in your school clothes and made me mad? Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A growing threat in Europe.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Christina Adoni, a research fellow at the Center for Policy Studies in England, wrote a chilling report in the UK Telegraph recently indicating the Council of Europe wishes to close the loopholes which allow medical professionals to abstain from performing abortions or engaging in euthanasia. According to Mrs. Adoni, the Council will start by asking European governments to establish a register of those who conscientiously object to performing such procedures. This step may seem small, but could eventually threaten freedom of conscience in Europe, as well as religiously affiliated hospitals.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Well, a giant thank you to Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, where Dr. Lawrence White is pastor. They're part, a big part, of the Issues Etc. 300, our sponsoring congregations. Now, Your congregation could also sponsor Issues Etc. on an annual basis, and the simplest way to do it is through the Issues Etc. 300. This means including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Now is the time for your congregation to decide to do this and to put Issues Etc. into your congregational budget. You can make it a little easier for them to understand what the Issues Etc. 300 is and what this decision means by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find a one-page flyer you can download and print off and take to your congregation when you ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. We're talking about a Minnesota couple using an online vote to decide whether or not to abort their baby. Scott Klusendorf is our guest. Scott, your comment before the break made me think this child is going to grow up, and this child is going to one day surf the internet and find evidence of the fact that his or her parents put his or her existence up to a popular vote online. Your thoughts there?
Oh, yeah. And what does this say to middle school students who are accessing the internet and elementary age school kids who hear about this through peers and through siblings? It tells them that children are a commodity, that they are here to meet the needs of the parents. Parents aren't there to nurture and develop the kids. The kids have a duty to meet the needs of the parents, or they forfeit care and even their lives. So it's a terrible precedent.
The child faced with that must certainly conclude that at least during the time of pregnancy, my parents didn't care about me.
Well, he would conclude that, but I don't think it would stop there, Todd. If you buy the assumption, the foundational principle that they're advancing here, that our right to life depends on a popularity vote, well, you can lose a popularity opinion poll just about any day of the week, depending on which way the wind is blowing. Ask any politician that's run for public office. One day you're up 10 points, the next day you're down 18, and who knows why. So if popularity is what determines one's right to life, you can't draw an arbitrary line at birth and say, well, before birth you are subject to that, but not after.
Then finally, Scott, why should we not determine in any situation what is right or what is wrong based upon popular opinion?
Well, as Christians, we understand that there are objective moral rules grounded in the character and nature of God that are fixed, and our job is to get in line with those principles, and those principles do not move according to how one happens to feel about them. Slavery does not become a moral right or a moral good, even if a majority of Americans, as once was the case, happens to believe it's okay. Slavery was wrong intrinsically because human beings were being violated of their natural rights. That's the issue that's in play in this situation as well. Does the unborn human in question have natural rights that the government ought to protect, that we as a society ought to protect and recognize, or are human beings by nature simply subjectively valuable, meaning our value comes from those around us who grant us a right to life? And that really is, Todd, the debate that's going on right now in bioethics. Do humans have value in virtue of the kind of thing they are, or do they only have value because we ascribe them value arbitrarily?
Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute, author of the book The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. When you purchase Scott's book, The Case for Life, using the Amazon.com link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for The Case for Life by Scott Klusendorf. Scott, thank you.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your crew, Todd.